from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
Hey, 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 hey.
Let's go Buffalo Chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I was proudly a guest on Sal's show this morning, and I guess it went well because he is back with us. I guess it went... Could it have gone so badly that Sal would have refused the invitation to come on this show today? I guess.
Maybe.
We would have had to have meetings first.
Hey, I was listening. I mean, I know you both. I admire you both. Sal, I respect you both.
But. Of course he was listening. It was fantasy intel. Of course Bulldog was listening.
I mean, listen, I needed a fantasy guest, so I turned to Bulldog. I mean, tomorrow I might have a tomato guest, so I'm turning to you, Bulldog. I mean, turn to Shope, I mean, so I'll turn to you tomorrow for a tomato guest, Bulldog.
Happily be a tomato guest on your show anytime.
Tomato guest.
I'm happy to be tomato guy.
Yeah, I'll... Be tuning in for that.
I will always stand up for the tomato.
Sal, we had a nice conversation with the Bills head coach today. It was doable to be able to talk, you know, give some perspective on his career and not just have it be about why they punted on fourth down yesterday. So I think Bulldog too enjoyed being able to sort of
go long, put on weight,
relax with him almost.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it. I listened to, and I think, you know, I do the weekly segment with Sean on Fridays before games, and I really enjoyed the refreshing, you know, perspective you guys gave because you were able to have a little bit more, you know, a breadth of, you know, his time here and those kinds of things. On Fridays, we're kind of limited. We're talking about kind of the week that was and the week that's going to be, right? We're in the moment. Your conversation with him was really interesting, and I thought Sean was really good. And, you know, in his part, I think over the years – you know, Sean's, you know, done a really good job of kind of navigating that space a little bit differently and better in a lot of ways. With, you know, he's not going to give you everything. He's still competitive and they're going to keep things close to the vest. But I've listened to a lot of his radio appearances or TV with national, with local, things like that. And I thought he was really, really good with you guys and candidate was good.
Thanks. He's got a lot to be juggling right now with all the injuries and He told us and said to the media yesterday, new plan for preseason game number 3 because they just don't want to risk any more injuries to starting players. Maybe you've been asked this yesterday. I don't know. I wasn't here on the show, but just how do you feel about that decision?
Well, I'm all for not playing the starters anyway.
That's right.
I mean, you know, so it, unfortunately, he gets there more because of the injury situation, and you don't want that to happen and that to be the reason. But you know, we talked a couple of weeks ago, and I said I would rather not see the starters out there anyway. I understand why any coach would do it. I get it. Right? I do. It doesn't mean that I, sitting here, think it's the smartest idea or want to see it, and fans don't want to see their, you know, star players get injured in any capacity. But you know, a lot of coaches believe there's value in it, and whatever way Andy Reid does it, right? So, you know, Bill Belichick, he would play starters at certain capacities in games and preseason games. It's unfortunate they're here. They have, a little less than 3 weeks before week one against the Arizona Cardinals. This is a great opportunity for some guys on the back end of the roster to really make a final impression and maybe make the roster. And it's a chance for the other guys to really kind of just start ramping up towards week one. And by the way, what's interesting to me here is, and you guys touched on this before, you used to have these multiple cutdown dates, right? Now you have the one cutdown date. The Bills were one of the teams that proposed that. So thanks to the Bills and a few other teams that actually proposed the rule change a few years ago, it's now benefiting them in a situation like this where they don't just have 75 guys, because that would be the case normally, where they'd only have like 75 guys for this game. Now they at least have, they have 90 guys that they can play, and that really helps them here in this situation.
So what was the story today? Maybe looking at the glass half full version of this, a couple of safeties did something. Well, at least Cole Bishop did some things. Mike Edwards, I guess, was on an exercise bike, and maybe that's progress for him. You can tell us. But Cole Bishop, red non-contact, positional drills, that's a good sign.
It is, for sure. And I'll go back to what Sean said, which was, again, candid and good to you guys, which is they're still wondering, too, what else can he do? Well, how quickly can he get up to speed? Will he be just a first and second down player, just a third down player? Will he be able to do everything? But this was a really nice step. He has a couple of weeks plus now to get ready to see if he can play against the Arizona Cardinals, where they want to fit him in. It was really interesting watching him talk to coaches today. I have some video of him. I posted, I put it on the website. I put it at my social media feed as well. You know, him doing a couple of drills, and then, you know, he was with a coach one-on-one a couple of times going over things. So that was interesting just to kind of see them. You could see that they're trying to get him really up to speed as much as possible. That was very good news that Cole Bishop was back, because DeMar Hamlin's out now, and he's going to be week to week. We know that Mike Edwards is still out. Yeah, being on the exercise bike is good. It wasn't like he was doing that all the time. I think maybe lately he's done a little bit more in that regard. And then Sean even said they're expecting Mike Edwards. This is yesterday now. He said that they're maybe expecting him to start doing some individual work. So that was really good. And then you had a couple other guys that returned maybe sooner than we thought. Casey Tuhill is one of them. Casey Tuhill, Sean said maybe later in the week, Casey Tuhill would be available. And then you had Javon Solomon and Austin Johnson, who were both said to be limited. But I saw them out there, and to me, they looked like they were kind of doing everything and running with their, you know, normal defensive group.
And then there's the matter of Joe Andreessen. Sal, I know I saw you tweeting about, like, really what his chances might be. It's an interesting one. A dark horse, local, just the impact, the game he had on Saturday, the risk the Bills would run to try to sneak him through to the practice squad or whatever that would be through waivers. What are all the different, those are a couple, angles here when it comes to him?
Well, Joe is in a really good spot for him, right? I mean, he has put a really nice bit of film together here. We know that from Saturday night. So, you know, he, I think, can feel really comfortable about the way he played and know that people around the league are noticing him. Heck, Brian Baldinger was tweeting about him yesterday and showing his game, right? I mean, like this guy, this isn't just, oh, cool local story. He got into a game and he made a couple of tackles. Like, he was legit playing high-level linebacker for the Buffalo Bills on Saturday night. Yes, he's a local kid. He's from Lancaster, went to the University of Buffalo. As we said yesterday, it doesn't matter if he's from North Dakota or wherever he's from. He played. He played really well. Now, the Bills have still Nicholas Morrow, who did return to practice today but did not take team reps, but he's getting a little bit better. He was doing some individual stuff. And they bail inspector who has not yet returned. So I'm going to guess that Joe Andreessen's going to get another shot here on Saturday night in some capacity, and probably a really big capacity to be able to play. And if he can back up that performance and do it again, you know, I mean, that's another notch for him as far as making this roster. I mean, guys, I think if it's wild to say, if I did a 53-man roster right now, I think I might have Joe Andreessen on it, to be quite honest with you. I think that's how well he played, and I'm looking at the roster and thinking, I don't know who I push off. Do I push off Nicholas Morrow? Do I push off Bale Inspector? I don't know if I could go that far, but it's certainly a conversation for me. Nicholas Morrow is, he's been in the league several years. He's played on three different teams. That's the kind of guy that maybe you think you can find anywhere, right? Mm-hmm. Or not anywhere, anyway, I should say somewhere. Are you willing to risk losing the high upside of a guy like Joe Andreessen, who's kind of an unknown and did what he did on Saturday night? Because what would happen is, and this is the mechanics you're talking about, Mike, if they release him a week from today, final cutdown day or any time, he is subject to waivers. any team can just claim him. You could have all 31 other teams claim him, but whoever would have the highest priority takes him. He goes on their 53. He's no longer a Buffalo Bill. That's it. Done. Unless they were to release him at some point. And I want to remind everybody of something. The day before he came to Buffalo for his rookie tryout, OTAs, it was rookie minicamp, and they invited him. The day before that, he was at the Kansas City Chiefs for a tryout. So it's not like he went into this just getting an invite because he was a Lancaster kid. Like, he was actually thought to be drafted by some people, and he wasn't.
Yeah. Have you talked to any people about how, maybe even Andreessen himself, how that came to be? Because we talked yesterday, you and I spoke about him, and then I talked to Chris Trapasso later in the day, and his athletic profile, like Chris had tweeted what's it called now? I'd have to go into my
score.
Yeah, the RAS score.
Relative athletic score.
Yeah, and it's so good. Like, I don't know, is it just because he was from Lancaster and went to UB or something? Like, it just seems like the kind of guy that the NFL would have found sooner than having him be just a tryout player.
It's a great question. I don't know the answer to that. I do know the Bills had contact with him even going back to the draft process. Like, they were, there's a guy, like they do with a lot of guys, right? They were looking at him, as well as other teams. I'm not really sure.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sure. To me, my guess is that it really did come down to that, Bulldog, which is, yeah, a lot of guys have success against that competition, against Bryant for 4 years, 5 years, and UB. Like, a lot of guys can put up numbers, but, you know, he's not the biggest, but he is very athletic, yes, and that's great. But, you know, what does it translate to when you're talking about an NFL field and going against, you know, NFL players who played in the SEC and the ACC? That shouldn't matter, but it does to people, right? I mean, it just does. It's unfortunate because, you know, a lot of guys have really done a great job coming into the NFL with his type of profile here. And I don't mean even the athletic profile. I mean just like his bio and where he's come from. By the way, that raw athletic score, I looked it up today. I tweeted about it as well. So according to Kent Lee Platt, who writes about this raw athletic score, relative athletic score, RAS, who writes at PFN 365. Joe Andreessen had a 9.36 out of a possible 10. And for what that means, in case you don't know, because I didn't realize this either, going back to 1987, as a linebacker, he ranks 185 out of 2,889 other linebackers. Pretty incredible, right? So yeah. I don't know the answer to why he didn't get drafted. I don't know the answer to why more teams, I mean, even a priority free agent, right?
Yep.
There was no UDFA signing. He literally had to go to rookie tryouts before someone gave him a shot.
Pretty good story. He also, before transferring to UB, where he played last year, he played 4 years at Bryant University, which is in Rhode Island. So maybe he's got a look here. Joe Andreessen off a fine game against the Steelers.
Sal, can I also say, Mike, when he was at Lancaster High School, someone told me the other day he blocked six kicks his senior year. He was the Wildcat quarterback. I know that. I called a couple of his games on Time Warner Cable at the time. I called a couple of his games. He was a Wildcat quarterback. And how about this? He was a finalist for the yearly Trench Trophy for the best offensive or defensive lineman in Western New York. Like, the guy just played everywhere and did everything.
Will be cool to watch the rare preseason finale where a player, you know, maybe it's a better sign if he doesn't play, but if he does,
let's see if he can light
it up again.
Yeah.
Right. If Nicholas Morrow starts on Saturday, then maybe you can feel like Andreessen's home,
so to speak.
Yeah.
Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. What's today's Keon Coleman development, if there is one? What did you see from Coleman?
You know, he was asked, today was more about, to me, like, not necessarily see from him. Yeah, they practiced today. He was out there, and when Sean says they're not going to play the starters, I don't exactly know who that means, guys, to be quite honest.
Right.
We'll find out later in the week.
Right.
Because at wide receiver, you have a lot of guys, and some start, and some, I mean, well, just because you're not on the first play of the game doesn't mean you're not considered a starter, and, you know, I don't know exactly who's going to play and who's not. My guess is we won't see Keon Coleman, because it's going to be, like, the guys who are really you're counting on, you're probably going to back off on them on Saturday. So to me, that would mean Keon Coleman wouldn't play. But I don't know that officially from McDermott, but I do wonder about it. The big thing for me today was from Keon. Now, I understand. I think he answered this correctly, even if he actually didn't believe it this way. But he was asked about the play in the end zone, the goal line play, and he said he absolutely should have caught it, and it was a drop. That's what he said. I asked Josh then about Keon saying that, and Josh said, listen, Keon's going to say it's a drop, and Mitch is going to say he should have put it in a better spot, right? He said, it's probably a little bit of both. He could have a little better throw. He could have a better catch, whatever. He's also said that Mitch was playing on the bad knee at the time that no one kind of really realized until after that series. But for Keon, I think to step up as a rookie at the podium, be asked point blank about that play and said, I should have had it. It was a drop. I got to catch that ball. You know, I think is a sign of maturity.
Yeah, good. I agree with him. I think he should have had it. It wasn't perfect, but I would count it as a drop. Mike likes to do this. Imagine if he said the opposite. Imagine if he asked him, did you see the pass? We'd be losing our mind.
Right, right.
We'd be lighting fires in here if he said, well, Trubisky sucks.
You mean what Stephon Diggs kind of became known for, which is putting his hands in a certain place, you know? You don't have to say it all that, but just make that little gesture.
Right.
You know, just a better ball would have been nice here. Yeah. Well, with Samuel Hertzel, what does that do to the scramble at wide receiver? You're talking about how to read how they might use Coleman or not use Coleman in this game. Samuel's injury makes it maybe just – This could be said for any of them, but more important that the guy be ready to go week one.
For sure. So let's just assume that the top four, and I think we all understand the top four in some particular order, are Samuel, Coleman, Shakir, and Hollins, are not going to play. We know Samuel has the injury anyway. And then we also know that MVS isn't going to play. Well, now you get to what does the rest of your roster look like? Tyrell Shavers becomes a guy that, are we going to see him? Probably we will, I guess, on Saturday. I mean, you know, somebody's got to play. And to me, he's been kind of the next guy. I think he probably has earned his way onto this team from what I've seen so far, the way they're treating him. But, you know, this is a big game for him. KJ Hamler, Andy Isabella, Justin Shorter, who I think is making a late run here, by the way, guys, I'll say. Damir Bird, Deion Kane, and Xavier Johnson. These are the guys we're going to see when it comes to Saturday. When it comes to the overall team and the picture at wide receiver, if you are missing Curtis Samuel for week one, I do think at least you have Khalil Shakir who can move around a little bit. He can do some things. He's not Curtis Samuel. He's not going to line up in the backfield and take, you know, handoffs and run like they might envision Samuel to do and as a former running back. but at least you can move Khalil Shakir around, which doesn't kind of pigeonhole you in for everyone else, right? You could still do a lot of the things you want to do, but now Keon Coleman becomes a really even more important player as far as target share and how you want to treat that. It's also important to note here, the Bills do have 2 games in 5 days to start the season.
Right.
So if anyone is borderline for their game Sunday, September 8th against the Arizona Cardinals, I don't know. I mean, you might even err on the side of caution to make sure they're ready on Thursday, September 12th against the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah. I want to ask you this, but I'm not sure how much you can answer. But and we may have gotten into this a little bit yesterday because Samuel, to me, Mike and I were talking earlier, I feel like is as much as the receiver room seems like sort of like Mike used the word scramble, I think just now, you're not sure who's going to be where and who's doing what. I feel like Samuel is the one guy that I feel like doesn't have a duplicate. When he's not on the field, when like the second string is running, the second string offense is running, do they have somebody doing the stuff that he does with the ones, or does he kind of not have a backup?
I guess the best way to protect, you know, what I can say, can't say, would be, I don't think any, okay, I'll say it this way. The coaches have said no one has more on their plate other than Josh Allen than Curtis Samuel, the quarterback.
Right.
Other than Josh Allen, the person on the offense with more on their plate is Curtis Samuel. So I think that's the best way to say it on what you would expect from other people.
Right. So that makes me worried that, like, I don't know, some part of the playbook, if he's not available, like, they're just going to have to put some stuff on a shelf for now if he can't play. But maybe. I don't know. That's what that sounds like to me.
I would say that's true. I mean,
yeah.
I think that's true with almost anybody, though, right? If you lose. Now, granted, some part of the playbook, yeah, sure, if you... There's probably plays designed for Keon Coleman, right? Something, mm-hmm. maybe there's some sort of pass that, you know, hey, he's really great at this. The other guys aren't. So that's something in the playbook. But, yeah, I would think that there's formations and play design that if you don't have Curtis Samuel, you're probably going to have to just say, we don't have someone necessarily can do that because these guys don't have the same skill set. Might be able to kind of replicate it in some way, shape, or form, mm-hmm. but... What's the point, maybe, even if we're going to do that? And yeah, I would think that you'd probably just say, let's wait until he's ready to do these things.
We've got to get to backup quarterback here before we run out mm-hmm. of time. Anthony Brown, new to the Bills. 2 years ago, the Ravens went to Cincinnati in the playoffs and lost, almost won, without Lamar Jackson. Tyler Huntley started that game. The previous week, and this may have been a situation where the Ravens didn't need it, Anthony Brown started for Baltimore, also at Cincinnati. They ended up going there 2 weeks in a row and lost both games. So that's his one NFL start. It's very limited experience. Boston College, Oregon. Why this player, if you know, versus other options in free agency? Or is it maybe just a matter of getting through the week? Because with Trubisky hurt, somebody is going to need to be available to be the number two quarterback for week one. And I don't know for sure. Maybe you do. If it couldn't be either Brown or Ben DiNucci.
I think it's just to get through this week as best as possible, but at least you give a guy a shot, right? You get somebody. I think this is more about circumstance than anything, guys. I mean, you have 32 teams that have 90 players. Think of all the quarterbacks that are out there. I actually did some math today because someone asked me, why don't the Bills just have 5 quarterbacks in their roster to, you know, and I look, no team has 5, but there are like 10 teams that have 4.
Yeah.
That's 40 right there. And the rest of them have 3, right? How many quarterbacks are out there? And, you know, it's just so you got to find somebody who's not on a team. Got to find somebody who's looking for a job. So you bring him in for a week. He learns a little bit of your offense. And then you get a look at him, so maybe later in the year, if there's something that happens, hey, he has a baseline, we brought him in, a little bit of knowledge from him, not sure exactly why they chose him versus anybody else, but, you know, he's out there. If somebody wants a guy like Ryan Tannehill, look, I'm sure money matters there. If you're bringing him in, that's more of a long-term something situation you would look at, not a 1 week. So I think that's where that goes. Now, if you have to have DiNucci possibly be the number two week one, I think that, you know, everything I hear from coming out from what they believe in Ben DiNucci, that he's really acclimated himself well. It's not ideal, but maybe that could happen. But how does that look? Do you put Mitch Trubisky on IR, then he misses 4 weeks, then DiNucci's your number two for 4 weeks? That could be it. I would tell you this, though. I know the injury is separate, and we have to worry about that and think about that. People also talk about the play of Trubisky.
Yeah.
Last year, Kyle Allen did not play very well. they still stuck with Kyle Allen. There was a lot of talk about get another backup, get another backup. They didn't do that. They just said Kyle Allen's our backup.
Well, I wonder here if the injury will change that for them here, because I'm not a fan of the way the Trubisky plays. I just will not. I know the backup for a reason, but I just don't trust it. But I feel like they've got really two quarterback problems right now. One is get through this week, and that's DiNucci and Brown. Then you've got this other situation, which is really hinges on how long they will know by, say, next Tuesday at this time, how well they will know how long Trubisky is going to miss. And then maybe they have to do something. And if it were to be a bigger thing, like to me, if they like the idea of Ryan Tannehill and feel like they don't trust DiNucci or Brown to do this job for a couple of weeks even, then that's the end of Trubisky. You go sign Ryan Tannehill and you send Trubisky on his way.
Yeah, I wonder what they're going to do here too. And as you get closer to week one, now they do have those two IR spots. They can put somebody on IR, two guys, and then they don't count. They don't have to go make the roster, and they can still miss the first 4 weeks and come back. You know, could Trubisky be a candidate for that? And if that is the case, though, then you do have to have somebody ready for 4 weeks. Could they keep three quarterbacks just in case because they want them to? I mean, then you're taking away from other numbers. And then, yeah, I think you have to look at outside. When they have final cuts a week from today, there's going to be a lot of guys in the market. There's going to be guys that they're going to be looking at, and there's going to be people that they're familiar with, and you never know. I am also wondering, just about this week, what the Panthers are doing. Dave Canales was asked about that today. He said, I'm open to playing our guys this week. He said, though, he'll look at it, though. He'll figure out if it's worth it. They had a hard practice today. So to me, it's sounding like he's just keeping them on edge to have good practices, and it won't happen. And if that's the case, then we may just see handoff after handoff after handoff, and that game lasts 2 hours on Saturday at Highmark Stadium.
Have you guys noticed what the totals have been, the scores have been in the preseason? I think I saw unders this year are 27-6 in two-plus preseason weeks. Warren Sharp did a great job, as usual, explaining that in part because of officiating.
Penalties, right.
They're not calling pass interference, defensive holding. I mean, I don't know if I want to say I hope that's just a preseason thing. They're not the most exciting things, flags, but that seems like a game changer so far this year if it's point of emphasis.
Didn't he say like first downs from penalties this preseason are down like 30% or something?
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
There go your points. Right. It's not just the obvious because teams rest their best players, but officiating has something to do with it. You wouldn't be surprised that Warren was able to sort of sniff that out.
Right.
Sal, are you on tonight if you need me? Or
do you know what, guys? Tonight, we are headed out to the Avril Lavigne concert at Darien Lake.
All right. The whole family?
Yes, with some friends, yes.
Awesome. You might see Joe.
Joe's going too?
I believe so.
All right.
All right, maybe so. I'll see Joe out there.
Giddy up. Enjoy the concert. Good deal, Sal. Thank you.
You got it. All right, guys.
No tomato talk tonight then, I guess, with Sal. All right. Sal's appearance with us is brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
I bet a lot of people with their food hang-ups like this, it is a texture thing. Your son with oranges.
Yeah.
The tomato, like biting into a tomato, which you're not saying to do that. You're cutting it up first.
Yeah, I would
not. But still
not,
that outer film, the skin, you might say. You might call it the skin of the tomato.
Sure.
That's a hard no.
I got no problem with it.
I don't want that.
Yeah.
Okay, what should the Bills do about QB2? This is always a good one to talk about. But the last few years have been kind of like set.
Yep.
Maybe it's not so set right now. 803-0550, that's one way to go here. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog back after sports here on WGR. Contest time. Callers 5 and 6 right now at 716-221-4WGR, 4947. Win a pair each of grandstand tickets to the NASCAR Cup Series Sunday, September 15th at Watkins Glen International. The Go Bowling at the Glen brings the drivers of the NASCAR Cup Series to battle it out around the historic New York Road Course. Tickets are on sale at theglenn.com. Aren't you impressed that I knew where to look for the contest line?
Yes.
I had to go look up
there. It's a good thing you're here, because if I were sitting here, I would have to do this while I did that, and that would sound weird, and I would have a really hard time with it because it's on my right and it's not facing me anywhere. And I don't know it by heart because it's pretty new.
It's fairly new. That's right.
Yeah,
I am having fun continuing off of what Sal was saying, looking around on depth charts at quarterbacks.
Yeah, right.
So odds that the Bills would make this move at backup. I mean, Trubisky was not impressive. And, you know, to be frank, he's often not been impressive.
Yeah.
But the Bills have liked him well enough to bring him in twice. I feel like they must feel some sense of safety with him.
I think they would have watched him play the last couple of years in Pittsburgh before bringing him in. And, like, I wouldn't have touched him. But, you know, what do I know? They're the Bills. But, yeah.
But the injury, though.
Right.
If he is not healthy by the opener, that probably should be an IR move. And if it's one where the Bills choose to have it be for the year because they want to save those short-term ones for other players, if I understand the procedure correctly, then I think that that's an easy one. I mean, it's not fun.
Yeah.
But I would think that that would be, like you said to Sal, that's what would happen, is he would go to IR and not play all year.
Yeah, I think it's the right point. I think it's certainly a good point. It's nice when those things commingle. About Kyle Allen last year, like I doubt that they're spooked by what Trubisky's done in the preseason. There's probably a variety of reasons that they would tell you that it looks the way it does. They're not game planning, and you know whatever. You know, it's preseason, so you know don't preseason pledge, right? I was dug in on not liking this idea before the preseason when they signed him. I didn't like it, so I still don't like it based on these preseason performances. But anyway, I think without the injury, I doubt they would react at all. They'd be like, what? Fine, he's our backup quarterback. You know, he'll get us through a couple games or a quarter here or there if we need it, and that's all we're going to hope we need. And so it's fine. And, you know, it's hard to do maybe even in their opinion. And I'd have to admit, I can't guarantee you that anybody that's out there is going to be a lot better. I mean, we're talking about backup quarterbacks. They're backups for a reason. So all that said, the injury, though, could push it. Like, I wonder if they would trust Ben DiNucci or Brown to be Allen's backup for, you know, whether they IR Trubisky or not, and that's 4 weeks and bring him back, or you know, think they just get through a couple weeks, leave him on the roster, make a roster spot available just to get through a couple weeks here. I don't know if they'll trust either of these guys that were just sort of late pivots to, you know, because of injury. So I feel like it's more possible than ever because of the injury that they could be looking and then just decide, you know, we like this guy just as much as Mitch and he's still out there, so let's just go get him instead, kind of thing.
Well, I wonder what the factors are. I mean, no, you're not getting almost definitely a starting caliber player here, right? I mean, think of what Trubisky has been in his career. He's played high draft capital. He's played quite a bit. That's about the best you can usually hope to do, I would say, generally, at quarterback. Maybe it's different this year, but, you know, it's never been a problem to me that the Bills have chosen this player for this job. You know, what is it? You're not getting excellence. You're getting a certain base level, a certain floor, right? You don't want the backup to get you killed if he has to play with terrible turnovers and that. Just run the offense. It'll be more conservative. Someone who knows the playbook, knows the room, all that kind of stuff. These are where Trubisky, healthy, would have an edge over anybody else. Another way of thinking about it, which I think is probably rarely how NFL teams think about it, is upside. Backup quarterback is a floor play for teams.
Mm-hmm.
Mitch Trubisky, never good, but it'll do. Trey Lance.
Mm-hmm.
Malik Willis.
I like the Willis idea a lot. Trapasso was on with me yesterday, and he tweeted about that even weeks ago, I think.
No, maybe you weren't here.
Like, trade for him.
I'd already written it.
Oh, really?
To bring up, and I mentioned on the air that Chris had also said it. Like, Malik Willis would be
Okay.
Interesting. Like, these are please don't come at me with, but you haven't you seen them play or anything like that? There's just the potential for not probably like really good quarterback play, but packages, ways to even use them. Maybe it's too late. Maybe coaches are, you know, it's too late to try to install stuff like that. I think of Justin Fields. If Russell Wilson isn't just getting destroyed in the pocket, isn't just completely done, if he's upright and he's the kind of base level I'm talking about where the Steelers are kind of what they've been, then they should be able to make Justin Fields an interesting weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And not worry so much about, you know, quarterback controversy stuff. You're taking a super athlete and using him to help your team win games. I don't see what the problem is. And I think Willis maybe even more so than Lance. I mean, Lance was the second overall pick, the third overall pick.
Third overall, yeah.
Like, he's somebody who's supposed to be able to really play the position. But I don't know. Like, it doesn't ever seem like that is happening. And now he's on his second team. In Dallas, they have Cooper Rush. You know, I'm not sure they would keep Lance, keep three. You know, you might expect the team to keep three. There are a couple of teams, though, like the Steelers, now the Bills, but Trubisky being injured, who have four guys. Sal was just telling us about this. The Eagles are one. Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, I don't think that's a real good idea either, but he's someone who could get cut. Like, I watched the Eagles-Patriots game last Thursday, and their third guy, McKee.
Yep.
There's been some buzz. I've seen, like, online, too, like, just reference to, like, could he, this guy might beat out Kenny Pickett. I don't know if that might sound insane to someone who really is, you know, follows the Eagles aggressively. Because, you know, again, preseason pledge. He played well in a preseason game. You know, I don't know if that means you're going to trust him to back up Jalen Hurts instead of Kenny Pickett, who's played a decent amount of games in the leagues and been very good, but he's played. He's a little bit like Trubisky at this point, just a little bit younger. So that's a name. Like, maybe it'd be jarring if he got cut, but I could see him getting cut.
There's also Bailey Zappe from that same game for New England. He's their fourth guy. They shouldn't need four.
Right.
And, you know, Nathan Peterman, Bulldog. You don't
want to ever
leave him out.
Don't forget about him.
One of four quarterbacks in the Raiders room at this point. Case Keenum, who was here, is one of four in Houston. So I think the injury sounds such that the Bills might be forced into a decision on Trubisky. Maybe they would want to make it anyway. I kind of doubt it, but they might have to do something. And if Ben DiNucci, and maybe I suppose theoretically Anthony Brown, isn't really up to caliber, then this is what you do.
Right.
If those things happen, this is what you do. Zappe or someone else ends up being cut and coming in. 803-0550. If you want to discuss that with us, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR. Eating tomatoes, cleaning screens, or washing screens, if you prefer. Sean McDermott.
Washing screens is taking screens out of your windows and washing them with a hose. That's what washing screens is.
Do you do that?
No.
Who has time to wash screens?
I've done it, but it's been a long time since I've done that.
Hmm.
I just got new windows in the attic. I got to clean those screens for probably ever. I'll be dead before I would think to clean
Window Nation.
Screens.
They don't want to hear this. Window Nation does not want to hear
this. They're going to last forever. I'm going to live a long time. So, I mean, I'm just saying. It's not a reflection on the product whatsoever.
It's only Noted. It's only Tuesday, but do you have plans Saturday night? And if you don't, I believe you are about to.
Uh-oh. I might. There is something out there of great interest to me, but I don't know. My wife's working, so I don't know what I'm doing yet. Why? What's happening Saturday night that would really interest me?
Delaware State at Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
Midnight.
Yeah. You gotta get back on the Hawaii train.
I don't think you want to be on the Hawaii train against Delaware State.
The Hawaii train was actually betting against Hawaii.
That's right.
No matter
because
who they play.
You shouldn't want to do that here.
Right.
I think, especially perhaps because Delaware State missed its flight. 10.5-hour flight to Honolulu. I don't know if this was yesterday, but they missed it. There was some sort of a bus problem at JFK. Wow. And so, I mean, it's bad enough, 10 and a half hours.
An entire football team missed their flight.
Yes. Oh, here it says USA Today reports 11 hours. I believe it.
Okay.
I've done it. So we'll see how that affects the Delaware State Hornets. I've just realized it's called they're called the Hornets.
Okay.
38 and a half is the line.
Regular Delaware is the Blue Hens, right?
They are so the Blue Hens, all yes. Right. My brother-in-law, Pat Corain, Joe Flacco.
Jeff Perlman. It's a Blue Hen, yeah.
Famous Delaware grads or former students.
Attendees.
38 and a half point favorite, Hawaii, at home against a team, Delaware State, that missed its flight.
Yeah.
The game is Saturday at midnight. A lot of this doesn't sound like it makes sense, but it all is true.
Right.
It's accurate, I think.
Were they flying directly from Delaware to Hawaii?
From JFK.
Oh, JFK, you said. Okay, yes.
Yeah,
thank you.
I think.
Okay.
Would you rather do it that way? Get it all in one plane?
Yes.
When we went 3 years ago, we went Buffalo to Dallas to L.A. to Honolulu. And then a wild ride on the second or third day of the trip, Honolulu to Maui, which was 18 minutes. I just remember that number.
Right.
It was a Saturday morning flight. And there was a group of women back of the plane near where we were sitting talking about how they had gone to a flea market in Honolulu for the morning. And they did it every Saturday.
They were getting on the plane to fly to Honolulu. Fly home from a flea market. Okay.
To Maui.
Gotcha. Sorry.
Because every Saturday morning, yeah. Wow. They flew there or maybe the Friday night, whatever. They would go to this flea market in Honolulu in the morning and then fly home in the afternoon, 18-minute flight.
Can you get like a plane pass? You know, like you have a bus pass?
Wouldn't you love
NFTA?
A plane pass?
Can you get a plane pass?
Yes.
Wow.
Then coming home, we did Maui to Dallas and then Dallas to Buffalo when the Bills were playing the Jets. And the Bills won the game easily. It's like one of maybe the last time they've at the Jets where they won easily or won at all, actually. 2021. That was the year.
Right.
3 years
ago. Yeah, no, straight through. Like not 9 hours with the right seat. Now I know I can do it. Getting up, like flying somewhere else and layover and just lengthening the whole thing. If you don't leave enough time in the layover, you're stressed about missing your connection. If you have too much, then you sit in the airport for 3 hours or 4 hours, like 9 hours straight. Toronto, Barcelona, Barcelona, Toronto. Perfect.
Get it in.
Yeah.
That's the way. What do you want to see the Bills do at backup quarterback? Mitch Trubisky, hang in there. Hope he gets healthy. Make a move. 803-0550. Is there a DiNucci crowd in our midst? People excited about Ben DiNucci after Saturday night. Let us know. We'll be looking for your calls right after sports here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas. This is sports the way it should be.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.